All right. Hey, everybody. Pastor Darren here, sitting with Pastor Mike for our Sunday sermon recap. And we are still on our Living Hope series, walking through the book of Luke.
Yep.
Still.
Feel some animosity there.
No animosity. Great series. Sunday, we looked at chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. And this passage of scripture, in my Bible, it has it labeled as the dishonest manager. So in this text, we have a rich man who has an employee. And he's been accused of not being a good steward of the rich man's finances.
Yeah, it says he's accused of squandering his possessions, which we mentioned it Sunday. But it's the same phrase used when they talked about the prodigal son squandering his inheritance.
So squandering.
I thought that was interesting because it's back to back stories. Jesus uses the same reference.
One. Yep. So this rich man's aware of him squandering. Mm-hmm. Those riches and just being a poor steward of the finances.
Yeah.
So this manager knows he's about to get fired.
Yeah.
And he's not one who works in the field. He has the dishpan hands. Yep. No calluses on his hands.
He says, "I can't. Manual labor is not for me.
Not for me, man. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to concoct a plan.
Right.
So I don't have to get out in that field and work.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Yep. So what he decides to do is pull everybody who's owed.
Yeah.
Who owes the manager or owes the rich man.
Yeah.
And he creates this deal or starts concocting a deal of what he's going to do.
Right.
And one of the things he does is he takes the first person who comes in. It's like, hey, you owe me a measure of olive oil. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut that in half.
Yeah.
How's that sound for you?
Yeah.
I can check with my manager. Maybe we can get a little bit more.
Cut you a deal, man.
I can cut you a deal.
Yeah.
So he cuts him a deal. And another one has, it's regarding wheat.
Yep.
100 measures of wheat. And he cuts that down 20%. So he only owes him 80.
Yeah, which we were saying, you know, 20% doesn't sound like that much, but it was like 7 years' salary. So, you know, I don't know how much you make, Darren, but seven times your salary has got to be pretty
much.
Good.
Oh, not as much as you.
Yeah. That's right.
So looking at this guy, we think of the office, that Kevin from accounting, the kind of weird dude, Kevin from accounting. Yep. So
He's back
and he's cutting deals.
Cutting deals.
So with these debtors, so what he's thinking is when I get fired, these people are going to take care of me.
Yeah, that's the idea is that if I'm going to come in and I'm going to use what resources does he have? Right, this Kevin from accounting, what resources does he have? Well, the only resource he has is his influence over this rich man's pocketbook. And so he uses his resource and the money that he has available to him to cut some deals so that in the long term, after he gets fired, these people will take care of him. And so he's using his resources to cut deals so that he can gain what's important to him, essentially, which is, from what we understand or read it as, is a lavish life, you know, a comfortable life. That's what's important to him, being taken care of in this world. And so he uses what he has to attain that.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
So a little bit of a plot twist here. So we think about this.
Yeah.
This is not good. Right. We're thinking Jesus is going to do one of those, surely, surely, I say unto
Jesus
you.
Jesus about to slam him.
Going about to slam him. Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Yeah, you're headed to hell.
But Jesus is like, oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. He actually praises him.
Yeah, he tells us that he did a good job, that he was shrewd or wise, really is what that means, that he was wise in his dealings. And we definitely don't expect that.
Yeah.
Because we're thinking he's going to come down on him.
And Jesus refers to these people as the children of this age.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing he's thinking is, look, they're investing in a thing that's important to them.
Right.
And that's the things of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas as Christians,
mm-hmm.
known as the children of light, or he's referencing as the children of light.
Yeah.
We don't have the same mentality when it comes to investing in our not only our future but our eternity.
So Jesus praises him, which is confusing, because if you've ever read this parable before, same for me, you read it and you are confused by it, because he praises this guy and he says there that phrase, the children of this age are better at making friends than children of light. And it's confusing, but what he's talking about is children of this age, like you said, as being people who live in and only care about what is finite. And and the idea that Jesus is painting is that, no, what this guy did wasn't good, but it was shrewd and it was wise, because if this is what matters to him, if this is what's important to him, he was shrewd about the way he went about using his resources to attain that. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, children of this finite world who only care about what is finite, non-Christians, right? People who don't believe in an afterlife or an eternal life, are good at shrewdly attaining what they value, right? Mm-hmm. It all really, this passage comes down to what we value. And so they're good at getting what they value and using their resources to do that. And he says, but children of light, Christians, if you read it that way, or disciples, he says they're better at it than disciples are. And the idea he's saying is that there's things that we as Christians, it's hard to say that we value, say that are important to us or should be important to us, but because we live in a finite world, we're not always thinking with eternity in our hearts or an eternal perspective. And so we're not always the best at using the resources we have at our disposal to chase what is eternal, to chase what is, you know, lasts forever, right? Because we live in a finite world, we can get caught up in chasing the finite. And not seeing the resources we have as something to be invested in the eternal
life. But I'm taking care of my family. That's, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a difference.
And I need a car.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, that's what you'll hear a lot. And that's my struggle as well, is a lot of times, and Jesus gets into it later when he talks about faithfulness in little versus faithfulness in much, but the thing we tell ourselves is, I don't have enough to invest in what is eternal. You're probably headed this direction, but ultimately when Jesus says this, he's talking about using the resources that we have to help change people's lives, yeah, to help show people him, and to, you know, investing in missions and people and seeing our finances as something to bless others with. And the lie that the devil tricks us with is saying, I don't have enough. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, and this is hard, but oftentimes we confuse abundance with enough. Mm. And so it's not that we don't have enough, because I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've ever missed a meal. I've never not had a roof over my head. There's never been a moment in my life where I didn't have enough.
You can go to your refrigerator. You have options.
Always had enough.
Yeah.
We confuse having enough with having abundance. Mm-hmm. And so we say, well, my car, when I get, you know, I got to get the nicest car, and then I'll have enough to actually bless people. Oh, if I can need to save up for like this great vacation, then I'll have enough. Get the bigger house, then I'll have enough.
But then there's going to be a newer car.
Yeah, and
there's
what's happening is
a bigger vacation.
Well, yeah, we're confusing having enough with having abundance.
Right.
And so it's like, I don't feel blessed enough. Like, mm-hmm, I don't have, you know, everything I want, and then I can be a blessing to other people. And that's where we get it confused, I think.
So what are ways we can invest in things that have an eternal impact that can not only change this world, but have an, mm-hmm, actual eternal impact?
That's a big question. The idea that Jesus is giving us is, like you said, eternal impact. And what has eternal impact? Well, that's people, right? Because, mm-hmm, ultimately, Jesus is about souls. What he cares about is people's souls, lives being changed, souls saved. And so, I mean, the bare minimum is, you know, we talked about this Sunday, and so this isn't like a passage that's about tithing. We're not trying to get people's money, but the first place you start there is tithing. The first place you start there is being faithful to your church, so that the church community you're part of, you're investing in and making sure that, you know, they have the resources they need to bless their community and serve their community. And that's kind of a bare minimum, I think, where Jesus starts. And then it's, you know, there's missions organizations we can be a part of and bless and love and serve. I think it's also keeping your eyes and ears open for people in need around you that you can bless and invest in. The whole idea really, though, is seeing our resources as a tool to be used by God to help and serve and love other people. And so when we make that mind shift, then it's not so much God trying to pry it out of our hands to help people. It's that it's just always available.
Yeah.
And so you're looking for opportunities. Right. You know, you're looking for ways, and whatever you're looking for, you're going to find. Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking for ways to bless people and help people and love people, then they're going to present themselves. And that's really the idea, is that it's a shift from everything that I have is for me now to get what I want in this finite world to, hey, God, you've given me everything I need. Now, how can I serve others and bless others with the resources that I have?
But Pastor Mike, I'm barely scraping by right now. I barely have enough right now, and mm-hmm. you really expect me to give, and I barely have enough to take care of. Verse 10.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Whoever's faithful in a little will be faithful in much, and whoever is unrighteous in little is unrighteous in much. Can you tell us the contrast between faithfulness and the righteousness that he's talking about in this passage?
Yeah. What's hard there is that he says, you just nailed it. He says, faithful in much. Or faithful in little will be faithful in much. And so, you know, faithfulness looks different when you have little versus when you have a lot.
Yeah.
And so faithfulness, you know, there's the story of the widow and the two minas, you know, like where she goes in and she gives her two pennies to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you've got these rich men who are giving all their money and they're taking it and flaunting it. And Jesus says, she's more faithful than all of you guys. And so faithfulness isn't an amount.
Yeah.
Faithfulness is obedience. You know, faithfulness is, you know, hey, with what little I have, you know what? I'm going to take a little bit of that and love somebody and buy somebody lunch and just show somebody I care about. Like, that's, faithfulness isn't, oh, I gave $100,000 to somebody versus I gave 20 bucks to somebody who needed it. Faithfulness to the Lord is understanding and sharing his heart. And faithfulness is just being obedient to what he asks us to do. That's all it is. And so it doesn't, there's no amount you need to be obedient. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, like, it doesn't matter if you have a little or a lot, obedience is obedience. And so, but what's tough there is, like you said, he says being faithful with little, faithful with much. And then he says, but whoever is unrighteous with little will be unrighteous with much. And so what's hard there for us as disciples that we don't like to hear, I don't like to hear, is he says not being faithful with your finances is unrighteousness.
Mm.
Sin. It's sin. It's sin. And that's hard because we don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Because we go, come on, Mike.
I'm not a sinner.
You don't know my story.
Yeah.
And we justify ourselves. And we do that game. And Jesus is going to address that later on. And we try to do that. But there's no, what's hard for us is there is no doubt that this is a passage that's talking about money specifically. Because we want to say, like I told in the story Sunday, there was a time when I wasn't faithful with my money and it was because I went, well, I'm a pastor, I'm serving God in other ways. And Jesus is like, this is a money passage, right? And because he says money several times. Later on, he's going to say, why are the Pharisees mad about what he said? Because they were lovers of money. And so it is a passage about how we treat our money. And so that's what's hard about it, because we don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear that.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. And so he says, if you're faithful to me with your money in little, you'll be faithful with much. But if you're unrighteous and little sin, you will, it doesn't matter how much you have. And that's, you know, I didn't talk about this Sunday, but you hear we do that and we justify ourselves and we say, well, I can't bless people. I can't help. I can't do this because I don't have enough, like you said. And there are real situations where people don't have resources, and there are other ways that we can be a blessing. So I'm not, this is not a guilt thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really trying to do that. But the truth is, and there's statistical data backs this up, your spending habits with $20,000 are going to be your same spending habits with $100,000. And so the principle that Jesus is teaching here is true in the secular world just as much as it is in the Christian world. That, I mean, you know, people that, you know, man, if I need to get that raise and then I have a little breathing room. No, you get that raise and then you just spend more money. Like, that's just the truth. And so that's also some of the practical aspects of this, is if we don't understand how to be faithful to God with our money when we have a little, don't think when you have more it's going to change,
right?
Because just in the secular world, take God out of it, the way we treat our money when we have a little bit of money is the same way we treat our money when we have a lot.
Yeah.
And so it's the same way when you have people who win the lottery and then they're in bankruptcy. Well, they didn't, you know, their spending habits with winning $200 million was the same as when they only made, you know, were on food stamps or whatever. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying when you had, you know, less, if you were in debt and crazy, then you're going to be, when you win the lottery, you're just going to do it and have more stuff.
Yeah, you see that with athletes. Yeah. Who have these million-dollar contracts, then they're out of money and they're working at Starbucks. Nothing wrong with Starbucks.
Yeah, hey, well, easy.
But yeah, you're right. You see that all the time.
So I just want to say it's not saying any of this to put guilt on people, because money is a very touchy subject. It's not shame, not trying to upset anybody. It just trying to say that it's important that we understand how to be faithful to God with our finances in whatever situation we're in. Because the excuse or the lie that we're tricked with is we say, well, when I have more, then I can be faithful. And the truth is, if we don't learn to be faithful with little, we won't know how to be faithful with much. Yeah. And so that's just the truth. That's what I'm trying to say here. Nothing about guilt or shame or anything, because if you heard my sermon Sunday, something that God was teaching me as well, I had to be talk about a time that God called me a hypocrite in front of my whole church. That was embarrassing. You know, that's a tough thing to talk about.
Yeah.
But it was true. And so not shaming anybody. I'm just saying it's important that we learn to be a good steward of the resources we have when we have little, because that won't change just because we have a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so it's important.
Now, I do have a question from someone who attended Sunday service.
Okay, all right.
And if you'd like to ask a question during one of these Sunday sermon recaps, you can actually click on Ask a Pastor on our website. You can also email me at ilmc@theriverdfw.com. Or you can just grab me in service and just say, hey, can you ask Pastor Mike this tomorrow? So the question is seeking promotions and advancements in my career a bad thing?
No. No.
And I think their thinking was, okay, I'm going to make more money.
Yeah.
And is that worldly to be asking or trying to get more?
No, no, not at all. The problem with money, the more money you have, the more opportunities you have to bless people. It just can't be your God. It can't be, you know, and Jesus says later on in the passage, he says, either you serve God or money. If you look at the Old Testament, especially, God is pouring out financial blessings on his people oftentimes. And it's not about how much money they have. It's about what they do with it.
Yeah.
Just like in anything. And so if you're making $1 million a year, praise God. Use it to bless people and serve people and love people and make a difference. But if the whole point of your life is to make $1 million in a year, then it's your God and it owns you and you're in trouble, right? You're not going to be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, no, man, I hope, seek advancement. I hope God blesses you financially and come hang out with us at the River Church. Yeah. Let's go, you know? So, it's okay to want that, desire that for sure. It's just about what you do with it when you get it.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. And if you want to watch this message in its entirety, which I would encourage you to do, please log on to YouTube. You can watch it on Facebook. You can listen to it on Spotify, as well as on our website. And you will be blessed by this sermon. Just remember, in knowing God, we can find freedom, we can discover purpose, and ultimately invest in things that will make a difference, not for this finite period, but for eternity.
Amen.
God bless you, and we will see you on Sunday.